No doubt you are aware of the invitational sign that hangs on this west wall, on the outside of the wall, and looks that away towards the Renaissance Hotel and so forth. The invitational sign which says, "Come and worship with friendly Presbyterians." Maybe, too, you recall those who have asked, "Are there any unfriendly Presbyterians?" To which the people of St. Andrews always reply, "Yes, but not us." A few years ago in St. Catharines, Ontario, we saw a sign on an Anglican church which read, "Two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. each and every Sunday, ample parking, a children's program, free coffee. The rest is up to you." These messages got me thinking about how to extend a public invitation to any and to all who might just be keeping an open mind about the loving presence of a good and gracious God, one in whom they could confidently place their trust. Might they also be hoping to find a fellowship of faithful, caring, and welcoming disciples of Jesus, people with whom they could discover or recover a fulfilling sense of belonging? In the declaration and welcome that we've extended to Kendrick Adamako Boateng this morning, I believe we've been given a very promising platform. It is, "Come grow with us into Christ, who is our head. Come grow with us into your baptism and into our baptism, the baptism we share with all Christ's disciples everywhere in the world." Such an invitation would imply that we are a community of Christ still growing ourselves into a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we know where we're heading as a congregation, as a group, as a fellowship, since we seek to live in relationship with Jesus, with whom we affirm as the way and the truth and the life of our lives. Today, as we celebrated the sacrament of baptism, the invitation to "come grow with us" was extended to Kendrick, a newly baptized child of God, just 3 months and a few days old. Long before he can even understand what has taken place here, he has been invited to come and journey with us, with his parents, with his sister Kristen, and all of us as we grow forward into baptism, the baptism we share, the baptism in which we mature in faith, in hope, and in love. He's been gathered into that, and we have gathered ourselves again into growth in our baptism. Well, can this invitation, do you suppose, be a model or for a wider and more inclusive and a very public invitation to the watching, waiting world around us? Consider the passers-by, the joggers, the people walking their dogs who come by this church, for example, who may be thinking to themselves, "I wonder what kind of congregation this is inside." Or the Sunday morning shopping visitors who are looking for a church home that is genuinely loving and receptive to all. How about those who were baptized as infants or as youngsters or as young people, but who never really followed through nor grew into their baptism? Might some of them be prompted to reaffirm their baptism, responding to Christ's invitation? And then are there friends and neighbors of ours with whom we rub elbows each day, whom we might consider inviting? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest," said Jesus. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What sort of invitation is this? It is an invitation, surely, to enter into a lively and enduring relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom God has come to us and through whom we come to God. It's an invitation to enter a new and life-giving realm of existence we experience as the kingdom of God. It is an invitation to be reborn as a child of God, not a child of privilege, but a child of blessing, a child of promise, one bearing the sign of God's gracious favor. Baptism, then, is a gift from God, received into the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a gift that signals the beginning of a new life in the world where ethical, social, and political decisions are made in the light of our response to God in Jesus Christ. Very much a this-worldly baptism into this world and into the decisions and issues in this world. Cleansed, forgiven, healed, and reborn, we begin to grow in grace as we are nurtured by parents, nurtured by family and friends, by those who are mentors in the faith, by those who model discipleship so transparently that we can't help but be attracted to them, until we ourselves mature in the ways of Jesus and live together as the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers, becoming a blessing to one another, becoming a blessing to the neighborhood, and ultimately becoming a blessing to the world. Day by day, week by week, through worship together, nourished by the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, by prayer and the study of Scripture, rejoicing in the gifts that the Spirit has entrusted to us and given to us to share with one another, to build up this fellowship, we grow in all these ways. By all these means, we grow into our baptism. Listen again to part of this passage from Colossians for this portrait of Christian maturity. Here's where we're heading. Here's where we're trying to arrive. We pray by the Spirit of Christ we can become these people, united to Christ, participating in his reforming death and resurrection. Your new life secure in God. So now, clothe yourselves in this new self that knows no barriers of nationality or social status or gender, but as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. When you have disagreements, bear with one another, and be ready to forgive one another if things boil over. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. This is like a Christian manifesto for the church, Colossians 3, 1-17. Just as the Beatitudes of Jesus are for the life of discipleship. The Book of Common Worship for the Presbyterian Church in the USA, in a section on reaffirming one's baptism, says this: the call of Christ is to willing, dedicated discipleship. Our discipleship is a manifestation of the new life into which we enter through baptism. It is possible because in Jesus Christ we have been set free from the bondage to sin and death. Discipleship is both a gift and a commitment, an offering and a responsibility. It is marked by change, growth, and deepened commitment. It is lived out of a renewing sense of God's calling to us and of God's claim upon us made in our baptism. A significant deepening of personal commitment or answering a call to a particular ministry or again marking an occasion of growth in faith. All these are opportunities to reaffirm the baptismal covenant into which we have been born and grown maturely in faith. Just last month, Lillian and I met a couple who live close to San Francisco and who are actively involved in their local congregation's ministry. She directed the children and youth program, for example, there. For the past several years, we learned in talking with them, each summer they have traveled to a tiny village in Yugoslavia, which their congregation back near San Francisco is totally rebuilding. The congregation is totally reconstructing this little village in that country. This is not fake news. These are not alternative facts. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, building the kingdom of God from the ground up. There's so much good news of kingdom building, energy and passion, compassion and celebration. Our new Presbyterian Church quarterly called Connection, and there may be a stack of them at the back of the church. I hope you'll take one and read them, has so much in it, such wonderful and compelling news. I'd like to read a couple from a report of the National Presbyterian Women's Gathering, Rooted in Love, held in Richmond Hill this past May. The event created many opportunities for recounting stories, for bringing women together to share what God is doing in their lives and in the world. Participants listened to the testimonies of three women relaying how they have experienced God's love in the community of the local church and in the Women's Missionary Society. Following this time, Tori Smith, the MC of the gathering, said, "We are called to testimony, which is merely to tell our stories, to share our love of Jesus, and how Jesus has transformed our lives." Vivian Ketchum, a First Nations woman from Northern Ontario originally and currently a member of Place of Hope Presbyterian Church in Winnipeg, tells about the pathos of far too many vigils for missing and murdered Indigenous women. Christopher Fisher, a pastoral musician at Knox Church in Guelph, states, "I have come to know the transformative power of music as a sign of God's loving and abiding presence in the church." Alexandra Belaski describes a mentoring minister the Presbyterian Church in Canada shares in partnership with the United Church of Canada in guiding the way for social ministries to share the common purpose of putting Jesus' message of caring for our neighbors, especially those who are marginalized, into action. And finally, just in the Just Wondering column, it's kind of a advice to the wondering column. In that column, someone asks, "I was just wondering, I wasn't baptized. Can I still join a Presbyterian church?" The reply by someone who, as a child, kicked and screamed through his own baptism, said, "Some of the most moving celebrations in the life of a congregation happen when adults stand in the company of God's people, trickling with baptismal water while declaring faith in the triune God." And, the advice columnist added as a footnote, "with adults, you can almost guarantee there won't be any kicking or screaming." Couldn't you or I tell an amazing personal story about a time in our lives, a time when we least expected it, the light of God's loving presence in Jesus finally clicked or broke in upon us in a wonderful way? And like Jacob in that old story in Genesis that was read this morning, we awaken to faith exclaiming, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. A rock under my head and running for my life, and guess who shows up?" If you had some kind of an experience like that, you could talk about, you could relate, you could say. We do know who is at the center of the really good news. And to this very welcome news of God's amazing love in Jesus, we can say to whomsoever will, "Come grow with us into the body of Christ, who is our head." Amen.